SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's for Road of Bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seat, the broken seat, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show. Get up, Snoopy. Along with the Tutty and Tater King, the founder of the IOC podcast, rights holder, the sheet of integrity, and the put it with the golf guru, Carver High this afternoon. Frank the Tank is running it with Luke. I am your father. The rundown, a double shot with Morenci from British Columbia in the first hour. Then in the second hour, Kurt Heelan from NBC Sports talking NBA rack. And then a double shot in the final hour from Adam Bust a Cap in Your Ass Kaplan. Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider, later today. Well, I don't know where to begin, Carver High. I know we have lots of Brian Daboll going on, including a 1-0 top of the ninth, 2-out gem in the Bronx that the Dreamweaver is trying to close the door on. And don't even get me started on the Knicks.
Well, I'll give you another 90 seconds or so before you have to get started on that, and I'll just give you the baseball first. 1-0 Yankees, top of the ninth, as you mentioned, in the Bronx. Six shutout innings from Carlos Rodon today. Some nice work from the bullpen, and the Dreamweaver one out away from finishing the job. The offense, Scotty, was provided by Yorbit Vivas, his first career major league homer. That is the only run in the game, and Weaver one out away from making that stand up. Both Evaldi and Rodon pitched great today. Top of the seventh in Toronto, Blue Jays up 4-2 on the Padres as they play there. Couple of innings left to go. So those are the only two live games, and then you have two games that are going to start within the hour, one of them within about 5 or 6 minutes, and that's the Phillies and the Rockies out in Colorado. Ranger Danger Suarez and Herman Marquez will be the starters today as the Phillies look to finish off a week long of having fun scoring tons of runs at Coors Field. They're minus 285. The Rockies plus 230, 11.5 the total in that one. Anything for you with the Phillies and the Rockies today, Scotty?
Well, of course, I'm on the Phillies in every single game in this series, and I've made a fortune. I mean, I win on the money line, the run line. There's no stopping the Phillies against them at Coors, as far as I'm concerned. I don't even care who's pitching.
And in the other game, that'll start in about 30 minutes from now in Sacramento, where the Angels have won six in a row. They're looking for the four-game sweep of the A's. Out there at Sutter Health Park, Tyler Anderson and Luis Severino go today. Minus 145 for the A's. They've been favored. They lose every day, but they've been favored every day against the Angels. Plus 120 against the for the Angels and a big 10.5.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. Give me Anderson and the Angels, and here's a secret for you. Do you remember when I bet on Severino at West Sac Town and he pitched and gave up like 12 runs? ERA at home's around 8. That's why that number's at 10 today, because he can't get anybody out. He hasn't won in that ballpark. He's been awful. Nope. Angels, any over. And I'll tell you another thing. While I'm at it, run line it. I'm going to do it three ways. Just like a
there
blizzard at Dairy Queen. I mean, just throw it all in.
Throw it all in. And those are good. You get those blizzards at Dairy Queen. You get a couple different things in there. You mix it up nice. All right, so A's effort. And Angels. Maybe the old hoppy can go deep again.
The cold heels win last night in the rain and chilly temps. You got to win.
They fought through it. 4-0 win for the cold heels last night.
Shut out.
We had great pitching. Got some good hitting last night. The
defense.
Girls were cold. The parents were cold. But we were able to make it through and get a victory. So nice job by the cold heels last night, as they get ready for Memorial Day weekend. All right, I've given you The playoffs coming soon. Two more regular season games and then the playoffs for the Cold Yields. All right, I've given you enough time, I guess. What an unbelievable melt.
Unmitigated disaster.
What an unbelievable melt by the Knicks last night at the Garden against the Pacers. The Pacers, I guess this is like their third historic comeback of this playoff alone. And sure enough, they do it in game one against the Knicks. I mean, they were down 14 with 2-something, down 9 with 50 seconds. That didn't matter. The Knicks completely melted and lost in overtime.
Yeah, I think when it was 17, I tweeted something like, Brunson and Big Bodega have this in the bag. And then I was like, later I came back and posted, what a mess. So look, here's the deal. It's never happened before. 9-94-0. First team to ever lose a 14-point lead with under 3 minutes to go in an NBA playoff game. So the Knicks made history again in the postseason, which is a lot like it's been since 1973, a lot of postseasons of failure. The fact that they made the Eastern Conference Finals is a shock in itself. I know I'm a Knicks fan. I love the Knicks. I wanted the Knicks to win, but we all know, you and I both know, that I took the Pacers in 4.5. Not only that, I told you the Pacers would win the series. I told you the Pacers would win the first round. I told you the Pacers would win the second round against Cleveland. I told you they're going to beat the Knicks. And I think last night said it all for me. To lose a 17-point lead on your home floor at the world's most famous, the way they lost, the shot selection, the free throw misses, the porous defense down the stretch, they deserved to lose. I thought Naismith went off. I thought Halliburton got lucky. The ball hits the back of the rim and goes straight up in the air 8 feet and comes straight down into the basket. You got to be effing kidding me. I mean, it was meant to be that they were going to lose. I have said repeatedly on this show and on this network that the Pacers are the most dangerous playoff team in the East. I said that well before the playoffs started. You don't want any part of them. When they were 13-1, I told you, they're the team I'd bet on, and I'm going to stand by it. They're going to beat the Knicks. This is the beginning of much suffering. There's going to be plenty more of it coming. They started it off with an absolute throat-slit game. I mean, they slit their throats, and they beat them in overtime, and now they're going to finish them off, and that'll be that. You know why? Because they're better than the Knicks. Everybody keeps telling me the Knicks are the best starting five and all this other bullshack. It's not true. And I told you last night, did I not say, how many times did I say it? They don't even guard Turner. He hit his first 5 shots. And they don't guard Halliburton either. He gets whatever he wants. I also said McConnell's their worst nightmare. He came out, he was shooting layups. I mean, the Knicks don't know how to play the Indiana Pacers. Simple as that.
And the wild thing was, as Naismith was hitting all these threes at the end of the fourth quarter, it was almost like they thought, like, oh, you know, like he's going to miss one eventually. You know, like,
yeah.
I didn't even feel like it's like they kept leaving him there. It's like, oh, well, he's going to eventually miss. He never missed. He just kept making every single one of them down. And it was almost like they thought, all right, we're still going to win.
I think he made
and
six just, of them in the fourth.
He made six of them. First player in NBA playoff history to make 6 threes in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. Lots of history stuff last night.
It was humiliating, but I'm glad I cashed tickets for everyone.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, honestly, why the hell would they do that to me? Like, what is it? Is it going to be on MLB Network? Is that what it is after the Jays and Padres are going to flip to that Phillies game? In Coors, I guess so, because it wouldn't let me do it on the baseball package. You can catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 on all of our TV and radio outlets. We get Morenci for a double shot, thank God, every day here on C2C. You know, I was just saying, Gabe, I bet the Pacers. I've been on them for 3 months. Real simple, just like the Oilers. I thought long before the playoffs started that the Pacers were the most dangerous playoff-built team. They're made for the playoffs. They're 12 deep. They got two sets of five easy that can beat anybody. You could take their starting five out and play with their five backups and still win the game from the jump. Like, not like come in for them at halftime. I'm talking if they couldn't all play, they could play their backup five and still win a playoff game. Every guy on that team does his job. Turner jacking every shot deep, hits all of them. McConnell shooting layups. Nebhard, Naismith, Siakam. It never ends. Even, I got to tell you, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Toppin. How about this guy with the two late dunks? And that last dunk he had, it was an and one. They never called that either. That should have been a foul too. The Pacers kicked the Knicks' ass like they do.
And don't forget about Ben Mathurin coming off the bench as well with his energy, a championship coach in Carlisle as well. I agree with you, and I've been saying the same thing. I'm a big – I like the Pacers. I like Mathurin. He's from Montreal. I know a lot of people that know him and have known him since he's a kid and stuff, so it's a cool story to see it play out in real time. Pascal Siakam was, like, one of my favorite Raptors of all time, right? I've always been – I've got, like, two different Siakam jerseys, like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm all on board with his Pacer team. And like you said, you know, they roll in the playoffs. They're going to roll out, like, 9-10 deep if they have to. You notice as well, Scott, they don't rely on one player. Halliburton hits the shots, like these dramatic shots late in the game, but they're very unselfish during the game, right? Everybody gets theirs. They're not one-dimensional or even two-dimensional. As you stated, they score in so many different ways, right? Turner likes to shoot too many threes. I like to see him play in the paint a little bit more, but Turner's hitting threes. Halliburton can take it to the rack. He can hit that little tier, you know, the little tier off the, you know, the backboard. He can get to the free throw line by taking it to the rack. He can hit those moonshot threes that look like they're going to be air balls but end up going in. Same thing with Siakam. Siakam, you know, Scott, he's very crafty at getting fouled and in the paint, the little putbacks, and he's good in tight spaces. So, like, they're very unpredictable. I saw Paul Pierce talking about this, and him and KG were hyping up the Pacers going into the series against the Knicks, saying how unpredictable they are. And as you mentioned, too, people don't realize, Scott, you just brought him up, how tough their guys are. Nembhard's like a tough kid, bro. Naismith is a tough dude. Like, you know what I mean?
No doubt.
Like, they got, like, ballers. Like Toppin ain't going to back down, right? Like, they got, like, the type of person, Siakam. Siakam's been doubted his entire career. New Mexico State, G League. Oh, you're from Cameroon. Nobody likes you in the NBA. All, you know, he's been fighting uphill his entire life, this guy. And they just got a chip on their shoulder, and you see it. And then you got the cockiness of Halliburton on top of it, Scott. Right? The icing on the cake. All right, we got this cocky little star kid as well.
Great man. 10 of 11.
Mr. Clutch.
You know, Mr. Clutch shots with under 2 minutes to go in games this year. He's gone 10 of 11 in those shots.
He's got more than LeBron in his career.
We saw him do it against Cleveland, and we saw him do it last night. Let me tell you something about Siakam. The one thing I noticed about his game is he's so smart now and savvy in his years that he's played that he has developed a keen sense of realizing when a guy is smaller than him, he immediately does
he recognizes the matchup right away.
He just kills matchups. You got to put this dude on me? Watch this. And he'll stick elbow J's in your face all day. Like Durant, he goes above everyone, shoots it right over your head. You have no chance to stop him. And he knocks it down.
Great call, Scott. He reads so well on the court. High basketball IQ. He recognizes the matchup. And earlier in his career, he'd force a shot. He's a great passer, Scott, now. So if he's got the advantage one-on-one, he'll take the shot, and he'll take it to the rack, and he'll probably end up getting to the free throw line. If not, he'll set you up. Also, he's very good at passing in tight spaces, which people are not very good at in the modern NBA. And also, guys, you know, the love fest continues here, but as this series goes on, it's advantage Pacers. The Knicks play the same five guys for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to catch up to them. And especially, you know, the way that the Pacers caught up with them. Yeah, it did. Look at the mistakes they started making, right? Oh, we're playing all frantic. And, you know, the Knicks don't want to do this. The Pacers are good at doing that, right? And they've shown they won't quit when they're down. And I tell you right now, Scott, I thought coming into this, and I really do like this Oklahoma City team. I kind of, you know, I'm like, nah, they can't really. They shouldn't be as favored as they are at all this.
But
and they don't have
final.
Any experience.
Indian and Oak City, and it's going to be overs in every game. They're going to go up and down like they're at a horse track.
Yeah, the totals might be 238, Scott.
I mean to tell you.
But I'm telling you, so coming into this, I went with you. I thought the Pacers were going to beat the Knicks. And the Pacers were plus 700 to win the title. And like you, I liked it at 13-1 last month and a month and a half ago. I told Paul Bovey on the show when everyone was talking about Cleveland and Boston. I said, you know, the sleeper is the Pacers. 13-1. Yeah, I said, that's the sleeper right there. You know it. I know it. Dude, they got the fourth best record in the NBA since January 1st. This isn't like some fluke run that they're on. But as far as the future price right now, guys, you can get the Indiana Pacers got a plus 500. That's not bad, bro. Like, oh, the Thunder this, the Thunder that. I got to believe if there's a team, I don't know about you. I think the Pacers match up better with the Thunder than the T-Wolves do. They're
they
much
sure
deeper. They can score. The T-Wolves can't score. Mike Conley's 100 years old. Anthony Edwards is hit or miss. Rudy Gobert sucks.
And
you know, I can go on.
Knicks to play at their pace, and they sucked them right into an up-and-down game. And then when it was all said and done, I said this yesterday. I said, trust me, Turner shoots threes better than Cat Towns. And Cat Towns had the most delicious look at the end of that game, all alone at the top of the key, and he bricked it off
the front of the rim.
He has
came
not
up short.
Been shooting threes well in the playoffs. That's all there is to it. When we come back, we'll ask Morenci about tonight's Thunder game. Talk about the Oilers' meltdown last night and who he likes tonight with Florida Game 2 in Carolina.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I want to start with going back to Dallas last night before we pick the Thunder game and before we talk about the Panthers. I want to go back to the Oilers game. I got to tell you, they were up 3-1 and you're going to the third period. You got a carryover power play and they scored Niskanen goal was 32 seconds in and then all of a sudden it's 3-2. But what really got me was that they gave them three straight penalties in 5 minutes. And I got to tell you, well, they scored three goals in 5 minutes, and that was the end of the game. I was watching the Knicks, so I wasn't, like focused on the calls. And I did not see the calls, but I'm still going to say the calls suck. Because I tweeted out three penalties in 5 minutes. For Christ's sakes, they give them enough power plays? Like, you got to be kidding me. Tell me what happened, because I lost that bet. I can't believe they blew that game.
I'm with you, though, Scott. And I got, you know, I'm doing shows, so I'm live. And, I got multiple things going on. And, dude, the Knicks game was a 16-point game, Scott, right? It was 108-92.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, this game blows. This game's done. I'm like, well, you know, we're going to hit the over at least maybe if the Pacers don't quit. And Edmonton was winning. So I kept missing the comeback, actually, in the hockey as well. I'm like, Edmonton's great. I'm like, this is great. We're just rolling with this team, 3-1. No, bro, the Oilers did it to themselves. And it's the one thing with the Oilers, and we know this, like as good as they are, they do have these five-minute sort of bursts, Scott, where they give up a bunch of goals. You know what I mean? It happens in every series. They're going to do it. But the Oilers are good because they're skilled, but they're not a bunch of wuss bags like the Leafs or the Canes or something. Right? Like the Leafs, like, they're soft. Like the Oilers are not soft. Corey Perry will spear you and like take your kidney if he can and sleep with your mother. Like he will. He'll hit on your wife in front of you. And you got kicked off the Blackhawks. You know what I'm just saying? Like,
right. Wasn't it Bedard's mom?
It wasn't Bedard's mom. Everybody liked to go down that road. It wasn't Bedard's mom.
Sounds better.
It was actually worse. It was like the president's, like, one of the
that's
like
a,
executives.
That's a power move. That's a power play in itself.
He didn't know, but he was all lit up, Scott, at a Christmas party. We've all been there. So Corey Perry's all lit up. He's just hitting on anything that moves. He doesn't care. No.
Too many Jaeger bombs.
He's like, they're like, whoa, bro, you got to go. You know, you got to go. But anyway, so he's a dirt ball on the ice, too. So, like, Evander Kane, but that was the problem last night. Evander Kane took a really stupid penalty. It was actually the first time, guys, hard to believe that the Oilers gave up three power play goals in a playoff game since 1992.
So, I believe it.
Don't take stupid penalties, which they did. Like, the Oilers like to play on the edge, and they went a little too far last night. You know, they just did. They brought you can't blame the refs for this one, Scott. They brought it upon themselves. But you and I know the Oilers don't get rattled. The only thing is, it's going to be a sweat job, bro. Like, we're going to go 6 or 7, because we know what the Oilers do. Every Oiler game's a stress. You know what I mean? They don't do anything easy, Scott, as we know. Ask any Oiler fan.
So let's go to, while we're on hockey, who do you like tonight, Game 2 in Raleigh? And then, who do you like, Thunder Game 2? Do they beat him again and cover that number they did easily by 26 in Game 1?
Let me just quickly say, we're in the midst right now, potentially the biggest upset in hockey history. I don't think it's going to happen, but Canada are still scoreless with Denmark right now. Canada were -3.5 on the goal line. They were 40-1 on the money line.
Like, I think this logo is at center ice should be the new logo for like a reefer dispensary in Canada.
Yeah, that'd be good, actually. So we should get there to that point. We're getting closer.
Trademark that.
Yeah, I like your idea.
That
we're getting closer.
Great, isn't it?
They can't score. Like, they're out shooting them like 35-7 or something. The puck won't go in.
These games, you and I are the only two people that care about the Canadian-Denmark game. By the way, my mother's from Copenhagen. In Ski and Papalas books, there's my Danish for you. That's the baby did it.
It's in Denmark. It's in Denmark right now. They're rocking hard right now. They're starting to believe.
My mom grew up there.
This is insane to do. But listen, I think the Canes are screwed. I don't think they're going to get swept, though. So this is it. Like, this is the last time I'm ever betting against the Florida Panthers
tonight.
You're
going to bet on them again?
Yeah, the Canes have lost 13 consecutive conference finals games. Yeah, they got swept. Yeah, 13 in a row.
I'm not betting on them ever. No, who do you like in the Thunder game? Thunder game.
Thunder.
Are you taking
Thunder roll again. It won't be as big of a blow up, but jump on the over, guys. We took it last night when it was like 214. It's up to 217 already. There's going to be points tonight.
I said they'd win by 10 or 12. My son's a Thunder fan. He said the T-Wolves are covering tonight.
No.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, Carver High, real quick, as you know, we like all kinds of food and fine dining and cooking tips and things of this nature on C2C. And I wanted to let you know that I was just talking to Gabe about it. When I was a kid, so my mom was from Copenhagen, and I grew up with a Danish mother, and God rest her soul, she was a concert pianist, and she went to Michigan and Northwestern full rides on piano scholarships in the music schools, right? And I always told you I was conceived in Ann Arbor, but she used to make me Danish pancakes. And she used to call them danske pankas. And I'd be like, oh, God, I could eat 10 of them. So they make this thin pancake, not a fat one like Americans eat, but a thin one, like a super thin pancake. And they press it down, and it's really thin. And then they fill it with jelly. So like strawberry jam or grape jam, you know, like jelly, like you have on a toast or a bagel. It's filled with jelly, and they roll it up into a big spleef, and you eat it, you cut it, you eat it in pieces. And I mean, it's better than sex. It's the greatest thing I've ever eaten for breakfast in my life. Danske panskas from Copenhagen. They got it all figured out over there, the Danes. I'm pulling for Denmark today against Canada. Screw Morenci and all the Canadians. Except I think their leftist Prime Minister now is joining in on the new Golden Dome plans for the U.S. and North America. Mm. Going to build a Golden Dome over the sky to protect us.
Yeah, we shall see how that all goes.
There's only one Golden Dome, and it's in South Bend.
That's the only Golden Dome that matters is that one. All right, let's go back, and if you're a Knicks fan, relive the misery from last night. 138-135. In overtime, the Pacers come back. This is a little bit of everything from the meltdown, whether it's some Naismith threes, Halliburton shot to force OT, That easy dunk that they gave Toppin at the end of the overtime to finish it off. All of the Knick meltdown for you on TNT.
On one.
And I'm surprised they don't have Miles Turner, the rim protector, on the floor as well.
Neesmith, three. Good. Another one from outside. Neesmith again. Three. Got it. He's a flamethrower. Indiana with it. Halliburton. He'll take it. He'll backpedal a three for the win, and oh! He got it!
Surprised that New York's not going to put anybody on the ball. They made that inbounds very easy.
Here comes Toppin, got it! Timeout, New York, 15.3, Pacers by three.
Yeah, listen, I predicted this as well, that it would turn into the Reggie Miller sex dance with the Pacers. You got Halliburton with the choke, a la Reggie. You got Reggie pointing at players on the floor, rooting for him in the middle of the broadcast on national television. You know, I'm surprised he's not, like, on the bench. I'm surprised they don't have him with a lav mic. And, you know, a battery pack sitting on the bench, on a Pacers bench. I think it's a crime that he's calling this series. And we all know it didn't take long for him to start rooting for the Pacers, like 5 minutes. And I just think it's bad for broadcasting. You got some, and you might as well have the Pacers broadcasters doing the game. I mean, what's the difference? You got their greatest hero calling the games, cheering for him. And, I mean, It doesn't affect basketball. Fair enough. I think the Knicks lost. I bet on the Pacers, so kiss my ass. How's that sound? So I'm just saying, as a guy that's been in broadcasting for 41 years, there's one thing I learned a long time ago, like even in journalism school at Indiana University, Ernie Pyle. When you're a broadcaster, you're objective. You're there to report the news. You're there to call the game. You're there to be objective. You don't pick sides. And let me tell you something. There's something bad about broadcasting that I've been talking about for years. These teams, they got these guys pounding tables and cheering for their teams on the air. And that's the way it goes now. And that's not the way it's meant to be. You know what I mean? Like, you should call the game, particularly on a national level, it should be very objective. The announcer should call the game, and the color guy should call the game and not be cheering for one side or the other. And that's exactly what Reggie Miller's doing. And I think he's pathetic. I think he's pathetic as a broadcaster. He's as bad as it gets. I mean, Christ, he might as well get a paycheck from the Pacers. In fact, he probably does. So I can't stand it, like, that they got this guy on every game. I mean, honestly, I can't take it. Like, it just can't be allowed. And listen, I told you a million times I'm on the Pacers. So it's not about me. It's not personal. It's that it sucks. There's nothing worse than having one guy calling a game that's cheering for one of the teams. It's embarrassing. And don't even tell me I'm wrong.
I'm actually kind of surprised that it doesn't get as much it doesn't get criticized as much that Reggie does this stuff, you know, because I think that if it were other franchises and other, like, I think if it was New York or LA, I think you'd hear so much more about it. Like, if it was the Lakers and it was some former Laker player calling the game and he was pointing at the players.
Magic Johnson, for instance.
Right. I think that everybody would be up in arms. Oh, the Lakers. I think if it was a Knicks situation, like, you know, let's say next year this is happening and Carmelo Anthony's on NBC going, you know, nuts about the Knicks. Like, I think that people would go be up in arms about it. Like, I think because it's, what is he saying? Because it's Indiana.
Because no one cares about Indiana.
I think that people hate the Knicks. People hate the Lakers. People will think that there's bias with that. Because it's Reggie and it's Indiana, I think it doesn't get as much criticism as it should, honestly, because it is bad. You can't be out there like pointing at the you know, pointing at the guys, making the bet. Like,
the guy makes the basket. He's like, he's giving him this. He's like, my man.
It's too much.
My man.
Like, this is not the local radio call where those guys, God, they should be doing it. God bless them. It's their, you know, thing. This is the national broadcast for everybody.
So
it's
the way I did it. So when I did it, people can say whatever they want. No one ever said I sucked. The way I called a game was, I was always exciting when the Thrashers scored a goal, right? But I was as exciting for the other team's goals as I was Atlanta's. And that upset Waddell and the front office because I would call, you know, they'd be losing 7-2, and I'd be calling like a Yager goal or anybody else. It didn't matter who it was. Iserman, it didn't matter who it was. I would call the goal exciting on both ends of the ice. It didn't matter what team scored. I just called an exciting goal. And they're like, you can't get so excited for the other team's goals. I said, we score once a month. I got to do something here to make this game entertaining and exciting. And they said, we don't care what you think. And I was like, well, you know, it's funny because I don't care what you think either. And I'm not going to stop doing it. So after a year, they fired me. I did it my way the whole way until they fired me because I'm not changing who I am for anybody. Now, let me tell you something. I'm right. If you're doing a national game, you have to be objective. I am not even close to being wrong. Not even. Don't even argue with me. You're going to waste your time. I'll give you a headache. You'll have a migraine by the time I'm done with you.
We will hear from some of the particulars when we come back, including Tyrese Halliburton, Rick Carlisle, Tom Thibodeau, et cetera, et cetera.
At some point last night, Mike, like the whole thing was like a bad movie. I mean, how contrived was the choke thing? It was almost like they planned it. It's almost like the game was fixed. I'm like, how is this happening with Reggie Miller calling a game and this guy's doing the exact same thing? Not only that, the shot that he hit, it didn't end the game. They had to go to overtime to win.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee, only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
All right, so we keep talking about this choke job by the Knicks. Honestly, Mike, when they threw the ball to Cat up at the top, and he had that three, and he was like, I mean, at least 25 feet deep. The first thing I yelled, I'm watching with my son, I went, brick. Because I already know. Did I not sit here and tell you yesterday, I'll take Turner over Cat shooting threes? Now, look, I know that Cat hit a couple in the game. Fair enough. But when it mattered most, he can't hit a three. When there's pressure at the end of the game, clutch time, money time, overtime, can't do it. And what did I tell you? His best game is when he goes inside and bangs and gets to the 10. When he gets to the glass, when he gets to the rack, when he gets to the dunk, when he gets into the low block, when he's got a guy on him and he's banging with the shoulder and he makes that move. That's his best game. He's a 7-foot monster. He's heavy. He's got muscle. And he acts like he's some kind of, you know, sharpshooter from outside. I don't deny he can shoot threes, but I do deny he can shoot it when it matters.
He certainly can. How about this note? There was a lot of historical type stats for this game last night. Teams trailing by 7 or more points in the final 50 seconds of fourth quarter or overtime in the NBA playoffs are 4-1,702. Since 1997. The Pacers have 3 of those 4 wins in this playoff. One against the Bucks, one against the Cavs, and now one against the Knicks. That is sick that they've now done this 3 times in this playoff alone. Absolutely wild to have that kind of ability to come back. Of course, Tyrese Halliburton hit that shot. We heard it before. They thought it was a winner. His toe was on the line, ended up tying the game. He gave the choke, the Reggie Miller choke sign Lucky for him, they ended up winning anyway. Here he was talking about it after.
The choke idea, come to you.
In the moment, I mean, I wasn't like plotting on it or anything. I just, yeah, everybody wanted me to do it like last year at some different point. But it's just got to feel right. And it felt right at the time. If it would have been, if I would have known it was a two, I would not have done it. So I think I might have wasted it. If I do it again, then I might be, people might say I'm like aura farming. So I'm not, I don't plan on using it again.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, I got to tell you, when he got the ball at the free throw line and went back and Mitchell Robinson was on him, I thought Mitchell waited too long to get up in his face with his long arms. You can't let that guy have that shot. And you can't let Naismith have all those shots. Because you know what? Every one of them at the end of the day was a good look. You know why? Because no one was in their face on any of them. Like, don't call me wrong about that they were in their face. Mitchell Robinson's hand was 3 feet away from him when he released the ball. And Naismith never had one hand in his face the entire goddamn fourth quarter. Okay? So I don't want to hear it. They played to lose. The Knicks played to lose. They went to the line. 3 different guys shooting bricks. I mean, Cat, who was it? Ananobi. It was one after the next. They were missing free throws. They played to lose, and the Pacers are used to this now. You know why? Because, again, for the umpteenth time, they're just a better team. They're
just
better.
Just a better team. They're better.
York's better because it's New York. And everyone here is half crazy. Everybody's a basketball expert now because the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals. All these fat asses that don't play basketball or don't go to basketball games or don't watch basketball, everybody's a genius now, and they know where the street names are of the team's players that they have all over New York City. It's pathetic. The bottom line is, anyone that really knows basketball knows that the Pacers are a better team. They're a better team than the Knicks, whether you like it or not, Frank.
Well, look, you also have to look at it this way, and we've talked about this a lot in the past few weeks during this playoff run. The Knicks only play 7 guys, you know, and when you're playing at the pace that the Pacers, excuse the pun, are going to play at, I mean, the Knicks, they usually play games getting into 120s, 130s apiece. You know, that's really not where they want to live, and they got into playing the Pacers style last night, and to their credit, you know, they were hitting shots and they were up 14, 17 points. But when you get into that 42nd, 45th, 47th minute of the game, and your guys have played the entire night and you're still running at that pace, and the Pacers have had, you know, three, four, five other guys coming in and out, their big guys are going to be fresher during those moments. And that, I think,
it's
that you saw that. That really came out a lot in the last minute and a half, 2 minutes of that game last night.
Let me tell you something.
It really did.
They should have never had a 3 to win or to tie.
Never.
Because when Toppin went in to dunk it, he got hammered. That was an and one. That was a and one dunk. He got hammered. No call. So they should have never even had a chance to tie the game. It should have been... they would have been up 4 with the and one. I got to tell you, Toppin had 2 huge buckets late.
Yeah.
And do you remember Obi Toppin? Remember him, Knicks fans? You remember? Can you hear it now? Like, he used to play for the Knicks, and they gave up on him. This guy can flat-out play. That's all there is to it. He's long. He's young. He's talented. He can shoot deep threes. He can dunk. He can block shots. He can rebound, and they gave up on him. I mean, they gave up on him like an ex-girlfriend. I mean, and this guy's coming back to haunt their ass like no other. He was huge in that game last night for them. In those limited burn minutes that he gets, he's just taking advantage of people. He's too young and athletic, and he can run and fly through the air and dunk. He's shooting Dr. J reverse layups. He did it again for the second straight game. He's got the Dr. J down pat. You know why? Because his arms are the length of your driveway.
We will we'll rip through a couple of these other post-game clips when we come back, including Rick Carlisle and Aaron Naismith, who had a historic night as well.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, Carver High, I don't know if you knew this, Denmark scored in that game and they waved it off. They said there was a hand pass. And he went in, whoever it was, and he went top shelf on Binnington and just roasted his onions. And they waved off the goal. Denmark should be winning this game 1-0. I never saw the hand pass, so I just blame the ref. All right, what did Carlisle have to say?
All right, well, of course, everybody was very excited and happy for the on Indiana's sideline, their bench, etc. Of course, Rick Carlisle, as you know, he's not one to overly celebrate, let's just say. He's just on to keep working.
This is day one of 13 days, and remarkable resilience by our guys, hanging in, finding a way to get the thing to overtime, and then made enough plays. But it's a long series. We're not going to get too excited about this. We got things to clean up. They got things to clean up. You know, game two is going to be another war.
You know, this guy, we have to stop running clips of him. He's just worthless. It's so boring. He's, I mean, I have priests that I know that are more entertaining. Honestly, he never says anything. He acts like every day is gloom and doom, and he's so staid and vanilla. I'm sick and tired of him, to be honest with you. I'd rather run Halliburton's dad. You see, they show him in some bar celebrating. Now they follow him with cameras wherever he goes. Honest to Christ.
Was that a bar in New York or a bar in Indiana? Was he like, did he come with him to New York and party down the block?
It had to be in it had to be in Indiana, because if he did that in New York, somebody kill him.
You would have got away with that in New York.
That showed up in the Halliburton jersey in the streets, they pummeled him with garbage and beat his ass.
That's very true.
They don't care who you are. They will kill him dead in a bar in New York. He'll be. Someone will kill him dead and leave him in an alley. That'll be the end of him. Trust me, dead.
Historic night as well for Aaron Naismith. He hit 8 threes on his way to 30 points, including 6 for 6 in the fourth quarter. First player in NBA playoff history to hit 6 threes in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. Here he is talking about being on fire.
It's unreal. It's probably the best feeling in the world for me, because I love it. Like, when that basket feels like an ocean and anything you toss up, you feel like it's going to go in. It's just so much fun.
There's no denying it when you're on, like, I went, I had a couple perfect nights, and I had a 9-for-11 night, and it's people start laughing because I'm so old, but I'm flicking in Joker little mini hooks and finger rolls at the basket. I'm laughing too. There's nothing better than hitting all your shots. Like, I had a 5-for-5, a 6-for-6. If you're hot, and because if you're smart, I shoot high percentage. I shoot at the rim. I shoot, 3 feet out. It's these guys pulling up from 25 that ruin their shots and brick. I thought that guy last night was an absolute assassin. I couldn't believe the shots he was making coming off screens. Like, he was full motion flying around screens and jacking shots, and they were knocking down. He was hitting back rim, bang, and they go down. He had it all going. One from straight out, bang, straight down. He won the game. I know they give Halliburton all the credit, but he won the game. Naismith was the reason they won.
Oh, without question. He was the guy. I mean, he made every shot to climb them back to where Halliburton got the glory for the lucky shot that he hit at the end of the game. Naismith was absolutely on fire in order to get to that point. Quickly, we'll squeeze Tibbs in as well. Of course, he wasn't in the greatest mood either after the game.
Yeah, there's obviously disappointment when you fall short, but it doesn't. We have to take a look at the film, make our corrections, and then we got to change quickly for game two. We got to be ready for game two, and that's all you look at. So you have to take disappointment and turn that into more determination.
Oh, okay.
So listen, he's another one. Honestly, I'd rather have, listen to my wife. Honestly, like, can we get some flavor in this thing? I'll tell you what the deal is. They either win tomorrow night or they are completely effed. I mean, they're going to get swept. They either win tomorrow night or they're going to get swept, because they're going to go to the field house. You know what's going to happen to them there? They're going to get run out of the building, because they play at a pace that the Knicks aren't used to. And forget about all that 2-1 season series bullshack, okay? Last night, you saw what happened when they got into a run-and-gun game. We saw what happened. So, you know, that movie will play itself out in Naptown, I guarantee it.